Hello, and you are listening to FPcast, the official podcast for Fruitless Pursuits, where we bullshit about the week in pop culture. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jacinta.
And this week we're talking about... Retracted, awkward silences.
Cutaway scenes to reactions.
So wacky, David Brent. Yes, we saw David Brent, :
Life on the Road.
Today.
Which is kind of confusing because the whole like production thing around it is called Life on the Road Productions, but it's shortened to LOTR, which is also... Lord of the Rings. And so every time I would see that, I'd get very fucking confused and go, how can he do that? Is there some sort of copyright on that?
Although I am getting on in years, I'm very in touch with the modern generations, generations Z.
You better be careful about that. The police are cracking down on that.
Not that kind of touch.
Well,
I haven't been in my van for a very long time. But generation Z, Z1, Z2.
Xenos, yeah.
Z2A.
Yep.
All those. And I can't remember the joke I was trying to make.
That you're in touch with the youth.
Oh, no. That I also, when I see LOTR, I think of Laughing on the Roof.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
How silly of me.
Because how many times have we texted each other and you say something just hilarious and I'm...
all the time.
Laughing on the roof.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, when they say, Dad's going to hit the roof when he gets home and finds this mess. And also laughing on the... rolling on the floor.
Laughing
my ass off.
Yes.
It's kind of those two things. I'm laughing. I think it's funny, but I'm also a little bit angry because it's so edgy. So I'm laughing on the roof.
Yeah. I have very vivid memories from back when the internet was in very much its infancy.
When it was invented. When it was a baby.
Yeah, when it was a baby and
it needed changing all the time.
Messaging systems, like where you could talk to your friends was a very new thing. And I have very, very vivid memories of an episode of Party of Five where they took about 5 minutes out of the show to kind of talk about it and like explain some acronyms, what LOL and RO, blah, 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 laughing my ass off, whatever.
Hang on,
and Jennifer Love Hewitt was doing it, yeah.
Party of Five.
Yes.
So I think of that as POF.
Yes.
Starring JLH.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Well, secondary character, but yes, sure.
Hands up if you've guessed that it's a slow news week.
As I would guess that we've gone to the pub and had a few beers before this
recording on a Saturday night. We've had some beers. I'm having some more beers. It's a very slow news week. I'm in a completely different headspace at the moment. So let's just see what happens.
I think, isn't that the motto every week?
Yeah. And, look, and we saw David Brent, which is about awkward silences and sort of...
So look, if we...
depressing look at people who had dreamt big and failed. So
consider this an homage to David Brent.
Yeah. People who performed to 16 people. Who had big, lofty aspirations.
God, that makes that movie even sadder.
Never quite pulled them off.
Yeah.
And went back to the day jobs.
Yeah. Well, never left the day jobs, to be fair.
That's true.
Yeah.
So,
that's where we differ from David Brent.
He did get leave without pay, though, to be fair. So.
2.5 weeks leave without pay, you know.
Yeah. Could do that. To do our podcast tour where we play to... Where would we... what sort of venues do you reckon we could do live FP cast? Small rooms at
very
backs of
small
pubs.
Rooms. Yeah, like the storage cupboards.
A community hall foyer.
Yes. Yeah, just a little entrance bit where they take the tickets, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we don't need much, do we? I mean, here we are. We're at a small corner of a table. We're sharing a microphone. We don't have... headphones.
No.
Just winging it.
We are.
News. Was there? There was a little bit of news.
Well.
There wasn't much news.
Not really, no.
Let's just riff on some things.
Yeah, so like.
Tell me about this whole Thor 3:Ragnarok business.
Like, Australia loves it when important outside world things happen here. And so for the last week, Thor, Ragnarok, has been filming in the Brisbane CBD.
Now, let's just make this clear, because we do have a lot of overseas listeners who will be, whether you're American or UK, I've heard UK people do this as well, you will want to say Brisbane, because that's how it's fucking spelt.
Mm-hmm.
But we here don't say Brisbane,
no,
which is how it is spelt.
Yes.
We say Brisbane.
Brisbane, same Brisbane. As we say Melbourne. So imagine that the end of Melbourne is spelled B-I-N, and that's so, how you pronounce it.
So Brisbane, spelled B-R-I-S-B-A-N-E, pronounced B-R-I-Z-B-I-N.
Yeah.
Brisbane.
Mate. Yep.
Cobber. So up in Brisbane, where's Hemsworth from? Is he from Perth?
No. No. For a long time, I thought that his family was from Adelaide, but I'm pretty sure they're actually from Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, still, he can claim the whole country as his own.
Of course he bloody can.
So what a great host.
Mm.
He's there. He's saying, you know, Taika Waititi. He's in Kui distance over in New Zealand.
The East Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on over, you bugger.
Yep.
And let's get old Hiddleston over.
Mm.
Even Anthony Hopkins, I think. Mm-hmm. Hopped over.
Yeah.
And it's like they're shooting in Brisbane, and I imagine that Hemsworth is being the consummate host.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So they've been filming everything else up on the Gold Coast, and they moved down to Brisbane for this filming. So they transformed the CBD into New York somehow. The pictures I saw,
Brisbane is up from the Gold Coast.
Is it?
Yeah, because I've gone to the Gold Coast, but I didn't travel as far as Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been to Brisbane. Okay. Anyway, there goes our geography. They're kind of around an area in Queensland. Okay? Well, they're in Queensland. So they transformed...
It's the capital city of Queensland.
Brisbane, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they transformed Brisbane CBD into New York. The pictures I saw, they just put some American flags around, which is fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's good enough.
Some bald eagles.
Yeah.
Some bears rummaging through picnic baskets.
Yeah, for sure.
They got these bronze surfers and covered them up with 10-gallon hats.
Uh-huh.
Gave them lassos.
Yep.
Everybody got an assault rifle.
Mm.
Just so
I did see those pictures.
They felt safe.
Yeah.
A very cute picture of a little baby in a pram with an AK-47.
Uh-huh.
Loved that.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a little...
a little baby-sized AK-47.
Yeah, and a little baby-sized 10-gallon hat. Sort of a 3-gallon hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was actually murdering a brown baby in his pram.
Edgy. So they've been having a lot of... I don't know if this is a Taika thing or... Just because they're accepting that everyone around this these couple of days shooting in Brisbane are going to be filming everything anyway. But they've been pretty kind of free and loose with the social media. Like, Chris Hemsworth had been posting quite a bit of stuff. Taika had been posting some stuff. Tom Hiddleston signed up to Instagram to post some stuff. So that was actually pretty cool.
How much he loves Taylor Swift?
Actually, no. Funnily enough,
still love TA? TS?
I'm pretty sure he loves TA.
TA.
But...
TS is TA.
But no, it's been kind of silent on that front, funnily enough. I'm sure it'll all come out again once he has another movie to promote.
Did they get married? I thought they were going to get married. I thought he was going to pop the question.
Well, probably, but they probably have to wait until all the magazines are free
to come and attend.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Yeah.
This is interesting. This is just speculation on my part.
Mm.
But do you remember I first talked about Taika's Thor Instagram presence
mm-hmm.
when... I'm burping a lot because I'm drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
When they... started shooting.
Yes.
And if people remember this fantastic anecdote on a previous FP cast, they're all there on iTunes or right outside.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and listen to it again if you want. But
you can refresh me because I don't remember it.
Okay, well, no. Well, basically, the first thing he posted was saying, oh, look at all the people that turned up to support me on my first day of shooting.
Mm.
Hashtag blessed, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the actors. It wasn't all friendly stuff. It was a whole... like army of deck chairs, which were executive producer, etc. And that struck me as here's Taika, this guy that has done all of these New Zealand indie films, someone with a great sense of humor, What We Do in the Shadows, all those wonderful things. and is used to, you know, really freedom, working with actors, having freedom, who suddenly turned up for first day of shooting and had a whole bunch of suits.
Clipped a lasso on his nuts and gone, let's go, boyo.
Sitting there going, we're going to watch you very carefully because there's a lot of money here. And this change, so I thought he was being a bit sort of snarky about it, being a bit like, when he said blessed, hashtag blessed, I thought that hashtag was almost a little sarcastic face because it was like, oh, you know, these guys don't trust me. But now I think he's definitely earned their trust. And we've seen him in person. We've been in the room.
We have been hashtag blessed by being in the presence of Tiger. Yeah.
And he's a very charismatic guy. He's a very sharp guy, very funny guy, and he does great work. And I feel like they've been seduced by this set experience.
We were seduced after, like, you know, 15 minutes in the room with him. So imagine weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But what color wallpaper for the baby's room? That's the question.
Absolutely.
So obviously now he's getting that freedom. And I think that's just fantastic. That's a fantastic story. This has gone from, you know, considering Thor 2 is one of my top five disappointing Marvel movies.
Even I didn't like that one.
Yeah. I think that this is just in such great hands. Everything we're seeing is just fantastic.
Yeah.
The other thing, the other elephant in the room is Tom Hiddleston. Because we saw High Rise a couple of weeks ago. Yes. We reviewed it. And I'm looking at this guy in High Rise, and I don't think he's the standout character in High Rise by any means, but that's not what his character's intended to be. It's no failing on his part. He's the straight man in a
madhouse
high rise of craziness.
Yep.
A dog eat dog metaphors. loony bin. It's like Snowpiercer, but vertical.
Yes.
Instead of horizontal.
And not moving.
And not accessible at all. And alienating.
Yeah.
So I was looking at Hiddleston in that and was like, yeah, you know, he's a handsome dude. But the thing is, I know this from photographing models. And look, all the models I photograph are lovely women. But I appreciate the fantasy, the illusion, because I see that. I see what they look like when they come in and I see the photos. And it's really about capturing a moment. And in a movie, a big budget movie, every time you're taking a shot of someone, you are making sure makeup, hair, angles, lighting, everything, that it is incredibly flattering.
Yeah.
Not so with social media shots, necessarily. No. Although, I mean, I'm sure they take more care with their social media shots than, say, Joe Bloggs, the butcher.
Yes.
From down the road, who always posting pictures of his meat on my Instagram feed, of his giblets.
At joesbutchers.com.
But I'm looking at Loki.
Mm.
And I remember this was a guy at one point that was making the ladies swoon. Loki, oh my God, my heart's a flutter. God of mischief. Woo! What do you reckon about the current pictures of old Loki?
Not into it.
Yeah.
Not into it at all. I wasn't into him in The Dark World. Like, the longer that hair gets, like, it just gets rattier and greasier. And I understood where they were going with it, I guess, in The Dark World, because he was in prison and he was sort of, you know, tortured and everything. And
he wasn't. He was reading a book.
No, he was tortured in his mind, Luke.
Everybody was like,
physical manifestation of his mind torture.
Everyone was, like, breaking out of prison. There was chaos, and he was in the background reading a book. And for me, I went, if you don't give a fuck about this scene, and it's your escape scene, if you don't give a fuck about it, then I certainly don't give a fuck about it. Like, you're not invested in this. Fucking when Hannibal Lecter escaped, he, like, took off a guy's face. And he went through the whole, you know, he could just fucking run out the door. He could have read a book. He was well-read.
He was.
He was, he knew about art, he knew about music, all that sort of stuff. He strung the fucker up in an artistic way. Can you imagine, Anthony, he was younger then, but still, and he didn't have, like, a stepladder or like...
He was just really committed.
Hanging wire. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He was committed to that escape. Yeah. So if Hiddleston's in the background reading fucking Hop on Pop during the, you know, I'm like, well, why do I give a shit about anything that happens in this film? But I saw the photos and I thought I was looking at the disaster artist, the story about the room, because Loki looks so Tommy Wiseau. And I know people have made that comparison before, but now more than ever, I mean, he's gaunt, he's wrinkled, he's got pale skin and jet black long hair. Why so serious?
I feel like saying that he's wrinkled is a bit harsh. She's not that bad quite yet. He's
younger than me. But in Brisbane, the sun's hot enough to fry an egg.
Well, it is, yes.
Bright sun, not studio lights.
No, no. Yeah.
You know, like even Hemsworth's not looking as fucking dreamy in those pictures.
No.
They all look like just real people.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of that. Like, yeah, even Hemsworth is looking a bit off, but I think it probably is that TV makeup, like heavier than usual. No, so when he's sitting there next to fans, he looks gross.
It's just what a guy looks like. That's what he looks like out in the sun squinting. You know, like we think everybody looks like they do on the cover of magazines, but they have some pretty expensive like photographers and retouchers and process going into that.
People I don't know. I think like Chris Hemsworth probably is pretty dreamy.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. He's like a good-looking guy, but he's still going to have, if you took 10 random photos of him, he's still going to probably look derpy in 7 of them.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I saw some of them. They were the ones they were putting out.
They were the ones that I sent you.
Yeah.
Yes, so it looks like they probably have wrapped up. I did read one article that said that this big final battle scene was going to be the last thing they were shooting, and then they'd go into post-production, because Mark Ruffalo finished weeks ago. There wasn't nothing that came out was much indication of what is actually going to be going on in the scene, presumably because everything is going to be fucking CGI in it.
Yes.
The only kind of little funny thing that I saw, there was a little shot of filming of girls coming up to Thor and wanting a selfie with him and completely ignoring Loki, who's sort of standing off the side looking very put out. So that was fun. But interesting. And Loki is wearing Johnny Cash, jet black suit, black shirt, black tie, black jacket, black pants. Just looking like a fucking waif of a ghost next to Chris Hemsworth, who is wearing a fucking hoodie and jeans as Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them out in Brisbane, hoodie and jeans, black suit, sweating their balls off for your entertainment next year.
Pretty much, even though it's winter, I imagine that Brisbane was hot as balls.
Hot as balls, and no two pairs of balls were hotter than really what was happening in there. Meanwhile, Taika, wearing a robe.
Yeah.
Nothing underneath. A lot of breeze on his, tickling his balls.
With was like fine. Big monogram TW on the back of it.
Yeah. Never forget.
Like the boss.
There we go. Boss. Slow news week, 18 minutes on a complete non
complete non-story.
Yeah. Yeah, here's another one.
Here's another non-story.
There were some photos from Bill Condon's, behind the scenes of Bill Condon's Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
Well, one photo in particular that I'm thinking of, which was cameras all set up filming a Gaston scene. And this is going to be Luke Evans. I'm excited about Luke Evans more than ever because we just saw High Rise, which he stole that for me. He was brilliant. You only see the back of him as Gaston. And Josh Gad, who voiced the snowman in Frozen yeah. is playing, what's the guy's name?
Lefou.
What's the difference? The and? Or is it feminine and masculine?
Feminine masculine, okay. I think.
Yeah, sure. So Lefou.
Yeah.
He's a man. Yeah. Not much of a man compared to Gaston, but who
no
is?
No one can fight like Gaston.
But, they're there. They're in the, it's obviously that song. The
hunting tavern sort of thing.
Yeah, and it looks perfect. It's a live action version of Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
It's very exciting. And you think, well, great. This is going to make $1 squillion. And Disney's on such a fucking roll.
It might not ruin many people's childhoods.
No, like, you know, yeah, I'm sure the internet will find something to kind of complain about, but or maybe not. Maybe everyone will just be absolutely charmed by this tale as old as time.
Maybe.
And the other picture was a picture of Cogsworth and Lumiere, which is the first time we've seen them, but it was a very odd picture. Lumiere's just kind of a blurry mess of stuff, and Cogsworth's face, a tiny black kind of shrieking zombie holes. And my feeling
like a little Pooh Bear face with little black eyes.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And my feeling is this is them trying to be inconspicuous.
Mm.
Like Lumiere's holding like one of his things in front of his face or something.
Mm.
I feel like this is them trying to blend in. Which probably isn't the greatest shot to share Oh, yeah, the hiccups there as well. to share initially, but there you go.
Well, people are saying it's just concept art, and it's not necessarily a shot from a movie think it is or a anything shot. Like that.
That is my feeling.
Yeah, I think when I initially saw it, I thought, oh, man, that looks pretty creepy. Like, there's definitely an element of nightmare fuel there. But then, if you're thinking about it, in a live-action movie, people are getting turned into fucking clocks and shit. That is nightmare fuel. And if it looks creepy, then good.
Ewan McGregor's French accent is nightmare fuel, so I almost feel like they had to make the clock face ultra scary to kind of balance that out. It's like distraction. It's like, ooh, look at this instead.
What if she is the one?
No.
Yeah.
So, Beauty and the Beast next year. We'll be there.
We will be there. The other picture that we saw today as well was a picture of Dan Stevens as the prince, which was a...
Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey fame, if you've listened, endured.
endured our chats previously.
Our fuck yeah Downton Abbey segment at the end of earlier episodes. Then, but I mean, he's not going to be the prince very much, is he?
Well, I guess not. There probably will be that, like, the prologue-y sort of thing. They do it, in Stained Glass in the animated movie, but whether they do that as real life or repeated as Stained Glass, but yeah, he probably will just be the prince right at the end. But and look, it was just a little snapshot, and as we're saying, you know, social media photos, for every good one there's 50 bad ones, and he just happened to look a little bit ratty and stringy. But look, it's fine, it's fine. Look, he's Emma, a handsome man. It's
Emma
all
Watson
fine.
Will be all over it. Like,
oh,
a heart is going to melt when she, you know, because no spoilers, really. I mean, it's Beauty and the Beast. She's going to think he's dead, and she's going to be, like, crying. She's going to get all wet around the face, and then he's going to turn into this, like, dude. And he's going to, like, be, you know, flipping around the locks, and then, it's not just going to be the face.
And there's going to be that moment of just like in the cartoon where she's going to be like, oh, shit, you are hotter as an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of what? Do you think that Belle was a bit yiffy?
She would have to have been, though, wouldn't she?
I think she was. I think that's kind of, that's kind of weird if you're kind of into that thing. Because maybe she was into that thing because it was so different. And
he
because,
was so hulky and big. And it was like, so... massive forearms.
So taboo.
Mm.
And, you know, this was a person that probably read a lot of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even wrote...
Oh, maybe,
a fair bit of fantasy. Yeah. And I think she had little animal friends, didn't she? I mean, not many Disney people didn't.
I think maybe they were replaced with, you know, clocks and teacups and shit like that in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, her horse was her friend.
Yeah. So, maybe she was into that, and then it became all a bit vanilla. And I think the relationship lasted about, 14 months. But still, Taylor's old as time, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, girl getting a bit iffy with her deviant art fantasies, to have... the guy take off his fursuit to reveal a sweaty, stringy-haired, puffy-faced fucker that kind of has a stale sweat smell about him.
Little bit crusty.
And it's just not the same thing. But, I think that's probably not a bad message to be sending to young girls.
Yeah.
Sort of make them... Because that's really the
sometimes
sort of thing.
Sometimes it is on what's on the outside that counts, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, let's prepare them for real-world situations because those situations...
Where they're a beast on Tinder, but then they're a sweaty nerd when you actually meet them.
Those situations are becoming more and more real all the time. So hats off to Disney, hats off to Bill Condon. I hope they use a condon at the end there. Trailers. Saw a couple of trailers. Uh-huh. These are just sort of thrown in here. These aren't massive releases or anything. But Rings is a sequel to this Rings, the Ring and its sequels. And we're not talking about the original Japanese Ring. We are talking about that story, but we're talking about the...
Western remakes.
Mm-hmm. And now there's another one called Rings. And the reason I thought it was just interesting is because you forget that... You know, I think of Ring as not being that long ago, but it was about a videotape.
Mm.
It was about a videotape. You put in the videotape, you see a long-haired, crazy, spooky ghost girl climbing out of a well. The phone rings. you pick up the phone, and that was that. Even that was it was a videotape, and then it was like a phone and a landline.
Because it was the start of the 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you have to pick up the receiver of your landline, and they're like, 7 days. And you're going to die in 7 days because you watch this thing.
Which is amazing to think that, you know, they're making a remake of that, because surely the, you know, the range of victims available to this girl is, the pool is limited, right? You have to find somebody with a VCR.
With a VCR, yeah.
And with a landline home phone.
I know. So,
like, she's shooting herself in the foot now.
Does not work very well at all. Mm. You would think, okay, this is a bad time for ghosts.
Yeah.
Samara, I think her name's Samara?
Don't know, never seen them.
Your time's kind of ended.
Yeah.
However, it looks like this reboot has really updated it for the modern age. You can watch this thing on YouTube.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I think that's what's happening. They're watching it on YouTube and, you know, then you die, which is kind of, like, problematic to me because I didn't see it in the trailer. I might have to pause it, or I wonder if it's in the film. But you kind of think, well, how many views does this thing have?
Because
if it goes viral...
Yeah, does she have to, like, ring everyone? Could be everyone?
30 million views. Yeah. And I'm thinking of the phone, like phone bill. Who's paying for that?
Yeah, and the timing of, like what if she's in the middle of, like, ringing someone and then she goes, like, 7 days, and then somebody else watches it and she's going to have to fucking hang up and then ring them?
Yeah.
Like, she's making so much work for herself. Why are you doing this?
And I don't know if the comments are moderated.
Yeah.
But I can't even imagine the, like, hateful... comments she's so probably fake, getting.
CGI bullshit. Yeah,
and like all the misogynistic stuff.
She can get in my well.
Yeah, well, bitch, in the... yeah, all that sort of stuff. She's getting death threats.
Yeah.
They're death threatening her. She's like ready to dial a death threat, and some fucking fat misogynistic YouTuber is death threatening her first.
Yeah, and she's like, what do I do here?
And she's like, 7 days. And he's like, no, fucking 7 hours. I'm coming for you. And she's like, well, hang on. That's kind of undermining what I'm setting.
I'm going to fucking dox your shit.
What I'm setting out to do. Yeah. So I don't know if that's what the film is. That's what the third act is going to be about.
Might be, yeah.
Yeah, it's her sort of going, hang on, no, this is just bad. Mm. And, you know, trying to sort of speak out against all this. but, yeah, I know. I thought the trailer was interesting. I thought it had some cool ideas because obviously it was hip. It was LOTR. It was JHL because it had YouTube. You could probably Skype her. She could Skype you. She could send you a text.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe when you watch the... Okay, look, what about this? Well, what if it instantly, when you watch the YouTube video, it sends out a group message on, like, her Instagram. Like, you automatically start following her on Instagram.
Okay.
And then you see the 7 days picture, and that goes out to everybody.
No, because it's on YouTube, which is Google, right? And then you get, like, a Google Hangouts message that says 7 days. A Google alert as soon as you finish watching it.
The Google Doodle changes into your face.
Yeah, okay.
With the Grim Reaper is the L.
Yep.
Your face is one of the O's.
Mm-hmm.
Her face is the other O, like looking at you. Brr, and then the Grim Reaper is like the L. Yeah, just looming over you.
Yeah.
The G and the E, they're just regular because you need to know.
They're just hanging out.
You need to know what it says. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe that's what it is. So, I felt exciting. There's this bit where, because it's called Rings, not Ring.
Mm.
Rings. And that's that trick that James Cameron did with Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Because you went, oh, one ring, like one girl in a well?
Mm.
That's fucked up. But then you start to think, well, there's more than one well in the world.
Mm.
And then all those wells to have their own ghost girls in them.
Mm.
So then what happens in the trailer is the movie, the well movie, goes on the in-flight movie. So suddenly everybody's got little screens at the back of their seats. They're all watching it. And then the plane gets taken over by, like, the ghost girl. So that looks pretty cool. So I'm sure I'll watch that on the internet at some point after its release.
Yeah. You were playing this while I was sitting in the room, but I don't like scary movies. So I was playing a game on my phone. And just
you looked away.
Looking up every two seconds going, oh, no.
I thought it was intriguing. And the other thing, and then this caused a bit of talk on our Facebook page, was the Guardians trailer. Now, not Guardians of the Galaxy, not Guardians of, what was the guy with the Easter Bunny and Santa, Rise of the Guardians.
Rise of the Guardians.
None of that shit. This is a Russian superhero movie.
Guardians of Russia?
Kind of looks like a little bit of X-Men, a little bit of Avengers.
Mm.
And it's about a Russian superhero team who come together and fuck shit up. And, like, there was a dude who had these big curved blades.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was a guy, like a big, strong blonde guy who turned into a bear.
Yeah.
And then he got a costume which had a big backpack with a minigun. And then it was a bear spraying stuff everywhere. I thought it looked really cool. But then the thing was, like, it's easy for us to, our instinct to go, oh, you know, that looks dumb. That's silly. But it's no sillier than any Western superhero thing. I mean, like, the budget, obviously, is a Russian budget.
Yeah, like it's a little bit, it's quite a bit less polished.
It's a little bit, a little bit shifty. But doesn't that just go to show how successful like marketing and branding is?
Mm.
Because taken by themselves, like Spider-Man or Thor or whatever, it's just as silly, if not sillier. But we're so used to them that we go, yeah, no, that's fine. That makes sense. I'll watch a Spider-Man movie, but I'm not going to watch the bear with the gun movie. But why not? Mm. It's all the same. Like, yeah. If they were Marvel characters, you'd be excited. It's like being excited to see Quicksilver. Well, it's a guy with silver hair who runs really fast.
Yeah.
Is that more exciting than the bear with the minigun?
Absolutely not.
Not really. No. So, or the guy even with the curved blades.
Mm.
So, that might be one to keep an eye out on. So, if that comes out and we have forgotten that we talked about this, message us and we'll watch it and we'll tell you what we thought.
Because, yeah, we can't imagine that it'll probably get a cinema release here.
I doubt that very much.
So, yeah, if you find a source for it too, that would be helpful to send us.
I reckon, you know, when it comes out at all. It said next year though. So that's a lot of hype for a movie that's not like a massive movie.
Mm.
So it must be massive for Russia.
About the marketing stuff for that Trolls movie. Like, all that song and the Justin Timberlake song and the marketing and stuff has been, like, that was out when, like, Eurovision was on. That was months ago.
Yeah.
And the movie's not coming out until December or some shit. Just, like, that's fucking, that's preloading pretty hard.
Well, like, a lot of the big films do. I mean, the Marvel films tend to get a trailer pretty early. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if around about February next year we get the trailers for, you know, Guardians 2 and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but they're things that people, like, actually want to see footage of.
I know, but those fucking terrible, like, DreamWorks-y kind of animated films always just make a shit ton of money.
It's coming out in the school holidays, I'm pretty sure. So it's going, it was just shooting fish in a barrel.
So, they were things that we saw.
They were.
Now, should we talk about this film?
Because I suppose.
We did actually see a film. We saw David Brent, Life on the Road, Ricky Gervais reprising his role as David Brent, last seen in The Office in 2000 and cough. And it's another pseudo-documentary about him. He's a sales rep in an office which lacks the spark and fulfillment and characters of the previous office.
Mm.
He's no longer the boss, and he's in a changed world where people don't tolerate him and don't really rise to his sense of humor. And he takes some leave to try and fulfill his dream of being a pop star, rock and roll star, a recording artist. And he goes on a sort of ill-fated tour. And it's a very simple story. Not a huge amount of plot. It really is a character study. And rather than sort of like fast and furious jokes, it is about awkward silences and sort of depression and self-worth and alienation and isolation and mental health and all sorts of things. And it's quite sweet and moving at times. It's never hilarious, and it's often very awkward and repetitive. What was your take?
Look, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but I've definitely said it to you that I do struggle with David Brent a bit. I know that awkwardness and that uneasiness is part of the character, but it's just not an enjoyable kind of thing to watch for me, which is why I've always enjoyed the US Office more, which I know is blasphemy.
Is blasphemy.
But I kind of prefer Steve Carell. But I was going to this expecting to have my mind changed, willing to have my mind changed. I had enjoyed those trailers. They did make me laugh. But I think at the end of the day, an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it was with David Brent was a little bit too long without the break. Because the appeal of The Office is that you do have the break.
Yeah.
You know, you do spend a bit of time with those other characters and David is a bit of a garnish. But when David is the whole meal, it was a bit much for me. So yeah. I didn't love it.
I have far more tolerance for him. I really love the character, but I do agree very much with what you're saying. This is really a one character movie. He's not living in a world which is sort of as insane as he is. And that is problematic for the film because a lot of it, you could make a supercut of edits of people just reacting to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like rolling their eyes, being unimpressed with him, being embarrassed by him, being uncomfortable with him. And it kind of becomes problematic because it's put so much emphasis on him and you get it too quickly. You go, yep, I understand that he makes people uncomfortable. I understand that his performance is pleasing no one else but him, that it's a vanity project. But that's not fulfilling just to see everybody rolling their eyes. Mm. Like, whereas
it starts feeling really, it starts feeling very mean spirited, and I guess half of that is that it does start to paint David as a bit of a sad character, as opposed to being a kind of a very self-assured, self-involved character, and that gets a bit kind of, it's a bit of a downer.
It's a difficult balance to achieve, but. Like, I know there are movies in the past that I really have that same problem with. Like, even if you go back and watch something like Ace Ventura, which I think is really dated, or even, like, any of that sort of Jim Carrey era, there are so many shots of people going, oh, who is this guy? This guy is so weird and stuff. And I find that really difficult to stomach. Mm. Whereas, like, going back again, early 90s, like, look at Seinfeld. You know, a character like George is a fucking horrible character that people react to as if you're a horrible person. Yeah. But at the same time, the supporting cast of Seinfeld are the most amazing characters, whether it's Mr. Peterman or Putty or the super Nazi or that guy that wanted the library book back or whatever. All those characters are so rich and have their own quirks and problems. And that doesn't detract from the main characters still being selfish people who do things that people react to badly. And it didn't miss that because you really are just watching this one guy. And there's this weird multi-layered meta thing sort of happening with this film because it's the film itself is a vanity project, which is about a vanity project. Mm. And the film is about someone who was once really successful with this thing trying to
recapture that
fame and then finding that
maybe not going to be as good.
Yeah, that nobody's interested anymore. And sitting in that nearly empty cinema made you go, well, this is kind of happening again. And it's not that Ricky Gervais is this washed up person by any means. Like, he doesn't need this. I think he's somebody who hasn't slowed down at all. Mm. Like, he's someone very much in his prime who has a lot of opportunities and is a very funny, talented person.
Yeah, maybe he thought that people were more invested in David Brent than they are.
It is the movie's definitely aiming for a subset of a subset. Mm. Like, you have to be that sort of person that's going to go and see a relatively low-budget, small-scale, small-scope comedy and pay for that in a cinema when their cinema money is being, like, siren-called by your huge blockbusters and things like that. And then you also have to have an investment and a knowledge of that character from The Office.
Mm.
And as we sort of said, you know, you're sort of going back 10, 15 years ago for that. And then even beyond that, it's not reaching that same sort of intensity or kind of energy or freshness of that original. And the movie calls that out in a way. I think it's aware. I don't think it's a delusional movie. I think I feel like what it achieves and what it sets out to do is what he wanted it to do. Like, I don't think it's a failure in the sense that he wants it to be one thing and we think it's another thing. I think he's smart enough to know exactly what this thing is. And I think he's trying to tell a different story to The Office. I said to you when we left that having watched Derek, his series about the guy with...
that intellectual disability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And that's a character that kind of makes people uncomfortable at times. But that series has so many really beautiful, poignant moments where you have a huge amount of empathy for the characters. And I think that maybe his more of his mindset now. And it was more about sort of deconstructing David Brent and trying to get that empathy for somebody who's kind of... isolated, alienated, and has that drive to perform in order to be... because he just wants to be liked.
Yeah, which it did get that towards the end, but there was quite a bit of treading water in the middle for me.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Like, my biggest thing about it is if I was going to try and find... and I think this is good. I think if you're reviewing something or you're thinking about something, you don't like something, I feel like we've skated around this recently, is... find that first problem. What's the main problem? What's the core? Because often all the nitpicks people have about movies are like 10, 15 things, problems down the track. You know, you kind of keep going back and going, well, where does all this branch from? And for me, I think I want to see this because it's David Brent and I really like David Brent, but there's nothing about this that needed to be a movie and something that you pay that premium for. As you said in the car, it could have either been like an hour-long special or something that was released through Netflix or BBC or whatever. Or I would think make a six-episode series about this. Do six half hours. And then not only are you telling this one overarching story, but you're also, if it was presented in that format, I'm not talking about just cutting up what exists. I'm talking about taking the idea and writing it as a six-episode thing. I think each episode would have had its own little three-act structure and they would have been able to find so many more moments, which instead have been stretched over one film as opposed to ideas that could have been packed into... because I think a lot of the ideas there, you could have explored all of those by episode two. So where do you go from there? You know, then you could expand and... so I just feel like I was entertained. I'd probably give it like a 3 out of 5. But I certainly wouldn't recommend that people rush and spend their cinema money to go and see this. This is one of those things you watch on Netflix or something in a sort of quiet afternoon. It really is an extended TV episode.
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably go 2.5, to be honest. I liked it enough. I didn't love it, but there were some genuinely really lovely moments in this movie that I did love, but overall it wasn't fantastic for me.
And I couldn't help but compare it to another movie which we've referred to. I don't think we ever reviewed on the show.
I don't think so, because it hasn't been officially released here.
Which is Pop Star Never Stop.
Never Stopping.
Never Stopping, the Lonely Island film starring Andy Samberg, which is another sort of faux music documentary. And it's not a perfect film by any means. In fact, I was kind of disappointed when I first saw it, but it was one of those things that the more I thought about what had happened in it, I was like, oh, that was really funny. Or, you know, there was that moment. But the thing about that is both of these movies are full of songs. And full of sort of comedy novelty songs. But Pop Star Never Stopping. And look, the soundtrack is available on Spotify. You can definitely listen to that. Has some amazingly funny, well-produced songs. That go and listen to She Wanted to Fuck Me, like the US government fucked Bin Laden song.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. And there's one with like Emma Stone on it. And that... sort of justified its presence as a movie through spectacle. And the way that those songs were staged and the way it was all shown was really great. And then we're talking about these sort of cultural differences. I feel like my criticisms with that film are very American in the sense that it's loud, obnoxious, and it just pushes so much at you and it doesn't always work. Mm. And it just feels like this sort of like kid in his high chair, like smashing a spoon, clamoring for attention. But then the Ricky Gervais, David Brent movie goes in the opposite direction where it just doesn't do enough. It's just
very reined in.
Yeah, it's reined in. It's almost too British, too stuffy, too sort of polite
and
underplayed.
Yeah, because I'd read the song titles on Spotify or iTunes or somewhere like that. And going off the song titles, I had high hopes because the sort of, I guess, issues and whatnot that were being tackled there, I thought that it was just going to be very funny but awkward and borderline quite offensive. And they weren't that funny.
Yeah.
They really weren't actually funny songs.
And that's probably my last point on this as well. And this ties into our discussion last week about Sausage Party.
Mm.
This idea of, like, when you're watching this David Brent film and it's not that he's racist. They say this in the movie. It's more that he's just clueless. But there is racial humor or stuff about handicapped people and things like that where you kind of awkwardly laugh at how clearly inappropriate he is. But at the same time, in that post-internet world, that stuff's never going to have any real impact.
Mm.
And Sausage Party was the same for me. It was like 2016 is not the time to go, look, it's a cartoon, but everybody's saying fuck all the time and they're having sex scenes and stuff. Because anything you can think of is accessible.
Mm.
And, you know, things like podcasts and internet cartoons and all that sort of stuff doesn't have the same limitations. It's not restricted in that same way, that the stakes aren't as high and people do all sorts of crazy things.
Mm.
And it's very difficult for a movie which has to rein itself in to a degree just from a purely economic standpoint to compete with that. So I feel like it's almost impossible for a movie to be edgy.
Mm.
And because you can't just be edgy, because just saying like fuck and having sex scenes or violent scenes or whatever, and I'm talking to you, Deadpool, I'm talking to you, Sausage Party, because that isn't enough, you have to be edgy but really clever. You have to find that twist. And I think that, like that Bin Laden song, for example, is a really great example of a very clever idea which is taken to a very funny conclusion.
Mm.
So
it's like, you know, what, 15 years ago, they did the marionette sex and swearing and everything in Team America World Police, and that's a funny movie.
Yeah, and like South Park in terms of a Bigger, Longer, Uncut, in terms of an animated film that pushes those boundaries. At that time, you hadn't seen that before. You were like, oh shit, you can do this? And I feel this way about Kevin Smith, because when I watched Clerks in 1994, I'm like 18 years old, I'm straight out of uni, I'm about to start film school very soon. And it really did have a huge influence on my writing, because there was suddenly this thing where you were like, you can talk about this stuff, you can do this stuff, you can say this stuff. And I hadn't seen it before and it was so refreshing. And now that's not enough by itself because everybody can do it. And he's lost so much of his impact because of that. And plus, I think he's gotten lazier and lazier. And I do think, I think Clerks holds up. Certainly not filmmaking wise, but it never did. But sort of script wise, I think it's still a clever script. It's an interesting script. I'd still enjoy that film. It's not just a product of its time, but at the same time, the impact is. And Something About Mary is another one I will go to. I remember seeing things in that and thinking, "Well, shit, you can do that!" Like, I wasn't expecting that. Whereas now,
well, it was one of the first times that they kind of make a joke and then take it that step further and like show you the dick cord and the zipper and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that
or the,
was that
or, real, like, or the oh, cum in the hair. Yeah, they follow through and you go, "Wow!" But now, anybody can do that.
Mm.
And I don't mean that in a I think the quality of stuff that is made on the internet and everything is just amazing. So many of those barriers are taken down, so it can't just be I'm kind of being a little bit unintentionally racist or I'm saying fuck a lot in a cartoon or, you know, we're having... So you have to find a point of view which is so unexpected and so different.
Yeah, you have to justify... In order to have
that impact.
Yeah, and you have to justify why people are spending $15 to go and see something at the movies when they could see something probably better on YouTube.
But the problem is, of course, when you do those things, they are hugely alienating for large amounts of the population. And then if we look at edgy films, I know I always go back to the Lobster, but I think that The Lobster is just such a great, unique example. Or even, like, I'd say even Swiss Army Man to a lesser degree. But when you start to actually be a little bit unique and a little bit edgy and sort of push those boundaries, you alienate a lot of people. And that doesn't make any financial sense. And that's where you're at. That's what I thought about with Sausage Party. That idea of, oh, is it a critique about religion? No, it's not, because they're kind of scared of that. They're going to skate around it, and then they're going to go, no, too hard, and leave, because you can't do it with a movie of that budget. It wasn't memorable, was it? Like, I won't think about it again after today.
No, there was no, not even any real scenes that you're going to want to, you know, discuss later or anything like that. It really was just like an episode of The Office with all the, like, good character stuff pulled out of it.
Yeah, the trailer's probably got the 4-minute version, 3-minute version that you need to see.
Yeah, you're going to get as much out of that trailer as you are out of the film, I think.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, what have we got coming up in the future?
I think we don't have anything officially down for next week, but I think we're going to use that to maybe catch up on Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, I'm curious about that one. We've talked about it before on the podcast. The full trailer put me off a bit, but I think it's reviewing really well. You know, visually, it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, and there's Peach Dragon coming up as well.
Peach Dragon will definitely be seeing. That's been reviewing very well.
Yeah. I'm seeing Secret Life of Pets tomorrow without you. I'm letting you you get away with that one.
Yeah, I'm not too keen. So, yeah. We'll,
and again, in a couple of weeks, folks, watch out. Buddy, spin out.
No, God.
We better hope that else gets released that week. Otherwise, it's going to be spin outs all over the joint.
Fucking spin outs. All right. Well, I think despite what little we had, and considering that...
we polished that turd up good.
About half of this podcast was just bullshit about Thor. Filming, basically.
Pretty sure that half of that last Thor movie was just bullshit about Thor.
That's true as well. Very much. So, yeah, look, thanks everyone for listening. If you haven't heard the news, Book Was Better is kind of on hiatus just for a little bit because I'm doing a graphic novel. I really wanted to do this thing for a while. I'm drawing. I am halfway through page 10 at the time of recording, and I'm hoping to share some stuff very soon. Chapter 1 will be about 12 pages, so... I think I'll package all that up and share that when I have done it. It's not to say the Book Was Better is on hiatus for a specified amount of time or anything. Some of the guest hosts have offered to read books, and if they're willing to read the books and take notes, then I'm more than happy to record the episode with them. It's just the fact that I don't have much reading time at the moment. I'm really trying to get my workflow and head around this new project. So... I will share that with you, a little tidbit. It is called Fabric, is the name of my graphic novel. So there you go. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. You can always support us on there. We've got a new BWB TV episode went up last week about Robin Hood, and that was a lot of fun. Please feel free as well to discuss that on our Facebook page. Don't feel that because it's behind the paywall that you can't discuss it in public. You absolutely can, and the worst that happens is someone will read that and go, well, that sounds interesting. I might check that out as well. But Yep, that was there. So that happened because you kindly read the book,
Jacinta. Yes, yes, I did. Yes, yeah. all 12 pages of it.
I know, it was just a little one. Rate reviews on iTunes, all those wonderful things. You can find all this information at fruitlesspursuits.com. That is our website. That's what the FP in FPcast stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, said enough.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
See you next week.
See you next week, you fuckers.